Beast OCR proudly presents BeastNet Podcast, sponsored in part by GH Under's performance-based layers and supported by the OCR community. Here we discuss all things OCR related. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, Mike here with BeastNet, and this week I've got with us Elise Howlett. So Elise, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I just got done with the sprint today in Montana, and I'm hurting, and I'm stinky and dirty, and I mean, like, what other way is there to be, right?
Exactly. It's Montana.
Yeah.
I know this year has been, it's been tough for me because this is the first time I've missed Montana since 2015, but I needed to take care of my own medical issues before I race again, so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was obviously missing you a ton because it's definitely, it was not the same without you being here, but I'm really, really glad that you, like, took a step back and you prioritized your health because I want, like, many more years of racing with you. I don't want just a couple, you know? So longevity is something that I'm hoping for you.
Yep, and me too, and that's kind of why I decided to do the surgery because, I mean, I really could have. My doctor didn't want me to, but I could have pushed the surgery back another week and gone to Montana. But he was not happy that I did Seattle. So he's like, you shouldn't be lifting anything that heavy. So, yeah. So it was the right decision.
And I really wanted that medal. Something that was challenging. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, technically, really you got medal. To run the race. Did you know that?
I mean, technically, yes.
I hope I'm not spoiling anything.
No, it was Ashley said something, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Because she's like, it was great running with you for a little bit. And I'm like, I'm not there. I'm in Washington. And then I saw Serena's post, and yeah. So kind of one
You're
of those.
You're like, Ashley, do you need medical attention?
Yes, exactly.
Whoever that was that told you it was not me.
No, it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. So Serena did have a picture of me laminated on her chest pretty much the whole race, which I'm not sure. I mean, it is amazing in most ways, but kind of creepy in smothers, but it's okay.
Well, know what? Zane can't be the only one that's ever had his photo plastered somewhere during a race. So we had to start a
that's
trend
true.
With someone else too.
Yeah. So, but I thought that was pretty cool that she took me with her in spirit. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit. I mean, we've had you on before. We know a little bit about you. Tell us a little more about you. And then after we talk a little bit about what you've come back from, I do want to talk about Montana. But tell us kind of your journey.
Oh, sure. For those that don't know me, I joined the Beast OCR group, back in February of 2015, when there were maybe like 30 or 40 people in it. Had a Spartan workout tour that I came to by myself. I used to live up north near Bellingham in Washington, and I had seen ads for Spartan, and I was like, you know what, that sounds really fun. I was just getting into my fitness journey, and I was really overweight still. I was really struggling with trying to find the next thing that was going to propel me forward in my journey. I had lost quite a bit of weight already, but I was kind of looking for something that was going to fire me up, and when I saw an ad for Spartan, I knew that I at least had to check it out. And that's when I met Lisa Ann Lindley, and she introduced me to Andrew, and then I became part of this awesome group. And I ended up doing my first Spartan race in August 2015 at Washougal. It was fantastic. I did it with my, at the time, coach, Sarah Knight. Some of you might know her because she's a freaking badass.
she's definitely a badass.
Yeah. She's amazing. She won first place today. Yep. And, third yesterday, but the technicality of some kind bumped her back to eight, but she still rocked the race yesterday. The beast. And then she got a first place in 44 minutes today for the sprint. So never ceases to amaze me and everybody else. So she was actually my coach. I met her at that workout tour in February in 2015, and she was at the time living in Mount Vernon. She had a course. So when I first started trying to train for this stuff, I would go out there and she'd beat me up a little bit, and I loved it. And I'd come back wanting more every time. And then and now here we are. I'm in my fifth year of racing. I moved from northern Washington to the Seattle area. I've met all these just amazing people through Beast and West Coast Obstacles and Spartan Race and just, you know, being active. And I met Jess, obviously. If you ever see me without Jess, then I'm probably talking about Jess. So,
yeah. And Jeff is amazing. And now, we all know that.
Jeff is amazing. And, well, Mike has a special place in his heart for Jeff and his bottom, but yeah. That's fine. I'm not jealous at all.
We did skip in a Seattle one year. We skipped down the course. It's like quite fun.
There was frolicking.
Yes, there was frolicking.
And then more recently, I've just been, I don't know, it's kind of funny to reflect on. There's been a lot of stuff that has happened. I try not to say, you know, that I've gone through in the last 5 years, but just a lot of things that have happened in life. You know, it seems like there's always something new and challenging waiting around every corner. And sometimes it's not positive, but it's challenging. And it's just really, really great to have such a big support system of people in this community that have helped me on so many different levels with getting through the things that have come up in my life so far. I crashed a snowboard in 2014 and tore up the cartilage in my right hip. And then I waited until December 2016 to finally have it fixed. So I've got 3 screws in my right hip. And it's kind of buggy, but it's doing, I mean, the last year has been doing great. Especially since I found CrossFit and weightlifting, that's been my saving grace. So I'm sticking with that a lot. And then, just, you know, a trickle of a few other things here and there. Family drama. Unfortunately, I lost my grandma back in January this year, and that's been challenging. She's part of the reason why I started racing, because I was raising money for Parkinson's research originally. So we've been going through the process of that, and just getting sick, and it seems like there's always like either an injury or like some sort of illness waiting around every corner, but survived 100% of everything that has happened so far, so I'm just gonna keep that up.
That's awesome. So that's one thing I talked about. I can't remember. I think it was Kyle. That's when I talked about the last one. Is it's like what life throws at you. It's what determines who you are isn't what life throws at you, how you deal with it. And I mean, it's kind of one of those things like with you that I've seen, you know, in the time I've known you, because I didn't know you. I mean, I've seen pictures and heard you talk about like in the past when you used to drink, smoke, and you were bigger. And I didn't know you then. But I mean, I've seen the pictures and you've talked about it, and to see what you've come from there. And then all the challenges, putting challenges or obstacles life has thrown at you along the way, and you just take each one, you know, at least it seems to us, in stride, figure out a way to get around it, through it, over it, and just kind of keep moving forward. And I mean, that's amazing. At least I think it's amazing. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
I view it as I don't have another option. You know, it's I look at it kind of like I'm at mile 11 of the beast, and it's like, well, you freaking come this far, like why would you stop? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's definitely an analogy for Spartan. I'm very glad that I took the leap and got involved in the Spartan community, because it has definitely mirrored, it's come in handy, like the resilience that I've learned in being a racer, and like having other people count on me and showing integrity and trying to you know, be true to my word and practice that. I'm definitely not perfect, but it's definitely a helpful tool to remember to practice those things that are super important for being a better human. And I think that translates over into everything that I just have to try to muddle through, and makes it that much, not easier, but just makes it, I'm more confident in handling whatever's thrown at me. So.
Oh yeah. And I think Spartan and I mean, obstacle course racing in general kind of gives you a different grit than a different type of any other racing does, where, you know, even like marathon racing and all that, you don't have the camaraderie that you do. When you're doing a marathon race, you just run. And that's it. You're not worried about the guy next to you. You're not trying to help him out. You're not trying to make sure they finish. You're just running. Where in a Spartan race, I've stopped. You know, it's like we've talked about, you know, when in Vegas, when I had a time hack that I wanted to hit in my brain, that our whole team wanted to hit. And all of us came across some girl that was having some issues. And we're like, I don't care about my time hack. This woman needs some help, and we're going to help her finish this race. And that's something you see in the OCR community that you don't see in a marathon, like, you know, a normal running community. And it's like Don, you know, the guy that my best friend, who I did the marathon with,
I met him this weekend.
Who stopped. Yeah. And he stopped, and he flat out, he messaged me and said, if I had done Spartan before I did that marathon, I think I would have had the grit to finish. He's like, the grit that I that, you know, people pushed me and helped me get through on this Spartan race, I think would have helped me with the grit on that Spartan, on the marathon race. So it's, it breeds a different type of person.
It does. Yeah, it really does. We had some awesome stuff happen today. I know you said we were going to talk about Montana, but just mirroring off of that whole grit and resilience and just the people you meet, there was this woman who, she was running with a group of her friends, and she was on top of the vertical cargo net today and just frozen, as so many of us have been, you know. I mean, those tall obstacles get so many of us, and she's never done it. And she's up there and she's so close, and it took so much coaching. And it's like, there's this one moment where she's just so overwhelmed, and I felt so bad because there's like 10 of us like trying to cheer her on. And I'm like, wait, like, let's take a step back, let her breathe, and then we will get her over it. Yeah. She ended up getting over the thing, and she just burst into tears. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, I'm not like happy that you're crying, but I'm happy that you're crying. Like, it's so nice. It's so human to see those kinds of reactions, see that the kind of effect that a moment like that can have on a person. And I've had those moments myself. And I mean, not to sound, you know, hoity-toity, but after doing it for so long, there's fewer of those moments because I kind of know what to expect. And there's less, you know, weird obstacles that I have to overcome in each race. But I just remember being there. And so being able to see that like super raw emotion from somebody is part of the reason I'm out there, because it just makes me feel more connected to people.
Oh, it does. And I mean, that's kind of, I would rather take 12 hours to do a race and help one person finish than to finish a race in 3 hours and leave everyone behind.
Yeah.
It's just, that's my personality. I would rather help everybody and not worry about my own time and everything else, because I've said it before, I get the same medal that you do. If I finish first or I finish last, I get the same medal. So it doesn't really, it's not, the medal is good to me, but that feeling of, hey, this person was able to accomplish something because I was there, because I helped them.
Exactly.
That to me is worth more than any medal. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons, too, I try and get more people to do it with me. So.
True. Yeah. You can have more of those moments. Yeah. It's nice to be in someone's memory bank. Like, it's nice to have those moments where they're like, hey, I remember you from such and such place. You helped me with this. Or, like, even that it creates lifelong friendships, too. It's just so worth it to be involved.
I am surprised at times when I run into somebody and they remember me from a race like 3 years ago.
Right.
They're like, you know, it was, oh, so I remember, I think it was one of the races last year. I ran into someone and they were like, I remember you. You helped me over a wall on this race like 2 years ago. And I thought I was going to quit, but you helped me and you talked to me. And I'm like, I don't even remember this, but I did something that has stuck with this person for years. Just because that's what we do, you know, and it's just, I think in some ways we take for granted some of the stuff that we do, that it's just, it's normal, when really, I mean, to some people it's not. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
People stay in their own bubble, and it's so easy nowadays to just turn away and, you know, like not pay attention to something if it's uncomfortable or if it's not right. And it's really frustrating when we expose ourselves so much to this environment and then we get out into the regular world. Like, I feel like I have to reintegrate after every Spartan race.
Yeah.
Like, I have to like slowly make my way back into civilization and be like, okay, it's okay. But you can do everything you can to help these people realize that they need to be better people overall.
Yeah.
I think I'm noticing as the years go by that there's less and less consideration of other people. Everybody seems to be becoming a lot more selfish. Far as, like, I guess, I don't know, maybe everybody's just scared and hiding from each other or whatever, but that's why I love this, because I freaking talk to people like freely. I can be sitting somewhere and just talk to someone randomly. Whereas if I'm sitting in the park somewhere, no one's going to come talk to me. No one does that. Maybe I'm just living in the wrong area. I don't know, but
I would go talk to you, but I know you, so.
I know you would. You're such a cordial person.
Yes. Well, I think partly too, it's one of those, like, honestly, I think that's one of the reasons I made the career change that I did, was I got so used to the Spartan like community of helping people that all of a sudden it's like, I don't want to be a boss anymore. I want to go towards safety where I'm teaching people and I'm talking to people and we're talking about helping people the whole time. And my whole career now is about helping people. And it's like, it's so rewarding where being a boss, I was miserable and I hated it. So, I mean, I like, I think Spartan helped me make that decision. Like, this is what I want. I want to help people. And that's, you know,
good.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I am still sad I'm not there, though. Who used my barbecue? I do have to ask this question. Who got to use my barbecue?
Jeff.
Okay, I'm okay with that. If Jeff barbecued,
I'm
okay with
it. The person you would have wanted to use it, used it. He cooked, like, a bazillion pounds of sausages and bratwurst and stuff, which I'm sure you would have loved as well. And then for all the puns that you can make, and because they're delicious, and I'm thinking of so many scenarios where that would have been hilarious. Now, if you were here and Jeff barbecue and wieners on the barbecue, that's hilarious.
I would definitely ask you
to eat his wieners. Yeah, you would have. he's gonna cook me up some chicken. Well, not me. I mean, I sound like a diva when I say that, but he's cooking some chicken that I will also be eating. because of the better, I can't cook it the same way.
It happens. No, it's one of those things, because that was kind of, for people that don't know, usually we stay at what we call the Beast Barracks, and one of my jobs was always, I was the barbecue guy, so. And this year, I didn't get to be there, so. Jeff got a barbecue, so I'm okay with that, as long as it wasn't, you know, some random guy, you know.
Exactly. It was Jeff. The cabin is great. Every year, I mean, this is year four that I've been here. I think it's year four that we've all been here. I don't remember if Brandon was here in 2015.
It's year three for me. It would have been year three for me. So,
right.
Because I missed the first year I was with Stevie.
Yeah, you weren't here the first year I was here.
Yeah.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. So, I mean, everything was exactly as we remember it. It's just amazing, and the views are great. I actually got to bring my 15-year-old cousin, Madeline, with us on this trip. She is not racing, or did not race, but she did volunteer the whole weekend. And she's never been to Montana, so it's been really cool to be like, hey, you know, this is somewhere that I'm comfortable at now because I'm very familiar with it. We come here every year. And to be able to show it to someone who's new, not only to, you know, Spartan race in general, but just, you know, being in this group setting is really cool. And I mean, the house is freaking cool. So I love it.
And we get the greatest people there. I mean, not that there's bad people anywhere else, but we just have the group. It's kind of almost always the same group with a few extras here and there, but so it's always the last. Mm-hmm. So, and we all have an agreement, you know, we get food, we cook, we have fun, and we do a bunch of stuff together. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm really honestly missing this more and more. I'm talking to you. So,
I know. I was like, are you sure you're talking about Montana right now?
I do. Like I said, for those that don't know, I had to have surgery on Thursday, and I'm doped up too, by the way. So,
I'm just really glad that you're taking care of yourself. You know that I understand how hard that is to be like away and by yourself potentially and miserable and all your friends are off having fun and they miss you, but it's still not the same, and it blows. Like, it sucks.
It does, but
so,
but by doing this, like you said earlier, by doing this now, I miss this weekend, but how many more weekends can I add on later? So
yes,
and that's kind of it. That's what I had to think about.
And
it's
when
like,
you're clear,
okay,
you're going to get with me and I'm going to whip your butt into shape. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because actually, the one part that some people don't know is pretty much like the weekend I get cleared, I'm supposed to do a marathon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So.
No.
Because Don people. So I'm doing a marathon. I'm doing a marathon on June 9th.
I'm going to have to. Oh, my God. Oh, good Lord. We will work around whatever we need to work around, Mike.
June 9th, I'm doing a full marathon. So it's all downhill. So my knees are going to be in pain afterwards, but it's, but apparently from what I keep hearing, it's not a very steep grade. So it's not a very steep grade. So, you know, it shouldn't be too bad. So.
No, just a marathon. It's just 26 miles of work.
I'm very impressed by you.
I'm very impressed by you because you don't just, you know, do the OCRs and Spartans. You also integrate like other running stuff. Like I know,
yeah.
And like Mike Sanchez is super big into like regular road running too. And I think that that's fantastic. And I will gladly come and watch, but I did a 15K like a couple months ago and I'm sorry, but that is not for me. I don't like running. I wasn't supposed to do another one, Mike.
I wasn't supposed to do another one, but I did. I did the one with Dawn and Emily, and told Dawn that, you know, since he went with me, that if he decided to do one, I'd do one with him. So he decided he wanted to do this one, and this is my thank you for going with me. But somehow he signed me up for this one and the Seattle Marathon in November. So somehow there's two, but I don't know how that worked out, but. He said something like it's the 50th anniversary, so we have to do it. I don't know.
Well, we're going to get you some knee braces and do some stabilitative. Wow, that's not a word. Stabilizing exercises and get you in shape for that then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to do it.
Just so you know, the girls are home and I'm in their room, so it might get loud here in a moment.
Okay. So we've talked about a bunch of random stuff. Tell me about Montana.
Okay. It depends on what you want to know.
How was it? How was the beach yesterday?
Okay. So if I take out the fact that my right knee completely gave out on me during the race, it was actually like, it would have been really, really good. It was very different in the sense that like all the obstacles were grouped super close together. So, like, the obstacle meadow where things usually are, and then out around the back sector where we used to do the bucket carry. But there was, like, 9 miles, the first 9 miles where there was, like, 4 or 5 obstacles. And I'm not even joking. There was nothing to do but run. And it's not really even running because it was, like, this really technical terrain. I'm used to sort of wider trails with a lot less, like loose rock. There were tons of areas where we ran across just fallen trees, like the small ones. So it's like running across sticks. And it was challenging in that sense. So we had really good uphills, like the uphills were very doable. But the downhills absolutely killed my knees. I mean, it was like we would go steady up and then they would find a way to just shoot us straight down. So very challenging. I know it was a different group of people than a lot of us are used to doing the course build and everything. So I think it was laid out really nicely. They incorporated a lot of just really good natural elements into it that made it challenging because the terrain itself is a challenge. And I will say that I don't think I will be running a beast. So I was going to originally start later in the day, but I upgraded to age group. Because I wanted to start earlier and I was like, well, you know what? Like I want the challenge, right? Well, I can't get help and I'm not running with anybody. So it was a physical challenge in that I was in a lot of pain for most of the race and then mental because I didn't have anybody there to distract me from it. So it was challenging, but it was absolutely gorgeous. I missed my spear throw at the top of the mountain, which is the best place to miss an obstacle and have to do burpees because you're literally staring out at Flathead Lake and all these beautiful mountains. And it's just like, okay, yeah, I could do 30 burpees here. That's fine.
Yeah. Oh, see, I love that course. I love how beautiful it is. So I know normally they have like the A-frame at the top of the hill. So you can get up to the top of the A-frame and just stare out over the Flathead Lake. It's gorgeous.
Right. So. Well, this year, they decided to put the spear throw and the rope climb up there. And the ropes were like these, they were like brand new. So they weren't even broken in yet. And they were slippery. And there was no water on them to make them slippery. That's just the texture. And I'm so proud of myself because I don't really struggle with the rope climb that much anymore. Sarah taught me really good technique. And then with getting stronger, I finally have it. And so at every race, it's like my one thing, like I could fail everything else, but I got to get the rope climb. Otherwise I'm going to be really disappointed in myself. And the sides of my fingers on my right hand are like burned because I slid a little bit on the rope and, it was very challenging, but that was what was at the top. So I didn't really get a chance to like sit at the top of the rope and look out over the lake as I was trying not to die.
Yeah, I get that. But, like I said, normally it's the A-frame, and you can sit at the top of the A-frame and kind of stare at it. The top of the rope, mm-hmm. that's a little different.
A little different. Yeah, they put the A-frame at the very end, so that was the last obstacle that we went over, which seems to be a trend this year. I've noticed that a lot. So,
yeah. I've noticed that, I think, about every race almost.
Yeah, almost. It's just actually kind of a cool finish because it really can slow some people down. So it's nice to see it almost evens the field a little bit. Like if there's a close race, it can be a bit of a nail biter.
Yeah.
So, I finished in just about, I think it was like 6.5 hours, which is right around my Tahoe time. And it's one of those moments where I'm like, okay, so that was mine. If I had been, luckily my stomach didn't act up at all. I didn't feel nearly as pukey as I did Tahoe, but I was like, really, I'm running a beast and like, there's something. I mean, I didn't even think about my knee kicking up because it hasn't really been a problem. So I got to get that looked at. I'm going to practice what I preach and make sure that I don't overdo it. Let it heal. Go see the doctor. Make sure that it's, you know, if it's something that I need to get fixed, that I get it fixed. If it's not, that I get it rehabbed and all that good stuff because I got to do it.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It was just kind of one of those moments where I was like, really? Why?
Yeah.
And then we did the sprint today, though. So I'm, like, going on about how much this hurts, right? And then I'm about to tell you about how I ran the sprint today. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. Like, I still went back out there.
I was going to ignore that fact. But, I mean, I've done it. I mean, so many times, like, oh, gee, that really hurts. Yeah, let's get up and do the sprint tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I was fine on flat and uphill. Totally fine. No pain, nothing wrong. I can mash up those hills. But it was a downhill, I think. I think I might have like a meniscus tear in my right knee because it's just right under my kneecap and it's just with the downhills. Like I can't bear weight and bend my leg like that in that angle. So I'm pretty sure I know what the problem is. So today I knew that going in, but Emily and I planned on running the sprint together because it was to be for her bachelorette party. So we had like a little get together last night here at the cabin. And then today I pulled out a bag full of stuff right before we went to go race, and I dressed her up in a tiara that had a veil on it and a sash that says bride to be, and then a big tutu, and I wrapped her up in all of that, and I was like, all right, let's go. And so she was getting all kinds of comments and hoots and hollers at her the whole race, and she's
awesome.
The big reason why I went out there. I had 150,000% better of a time today than I did yesterday. Like I was with the right people. I was moving steadily. No one was getting hung up on the fact that I couldn't really do the downhills. Like I was helping everybody push everybody up the uphills, and then they had my back with distracting me and making sure that I was good on all the downhills. It was just like you said, it's better with people. And I know that, and it's such a stark contrast between yesterday and today. Let me tell you, I'm a different person today. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. I've done both. I've done them alone and I've done them with people, and it's a completely different race. So,
it really is. Nice. So
tell me
both
you have pictures
cool
of Emily.
And...
Was it was it a normal sprint medal for today, or was it a mountain series?
It was a mountain series.
It was a mountain series medal?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody was like, no, they'll do it like they did last year where it's different. No, they're two really cool looking medals.
Yeah, I'm really even more angry now.
So, I know, it's really cool.
Because last year I didn't get the...
It's okay.
I got
there will be other ones.
I know, I got the Montana Mountain Series medal last year for the Beast, but I never got the Sprint Mountain Series. So...
Right. Well, and see, I did the Sprint here. I think it was a mountain series.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
remember
now, honestly.
Last year, they kept saying it wasn't. That it wasn't listed as one, but then they gave us the medal. So.
Right. Yeah, because that one.
There was a big argument in the Beast page about that. Before the race.
I remember that. I know. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Well, we're gonna find out.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty much.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I mean, all in all, a good racing weekend. I mean, it was a weekend of a lot of firsts for me. I still do a lot of like milestones for myself based on when I had my hip surgery. And it's really one of those things where it puts things into perspective for me, like you said earlier, of how far that I've come, not only on like just a health level, but then, all right, so you used to be a smoker and a drinker and super depressed and super overweight. And now look at what you're doing. Like, you're out here, you might not be bending. Look at what you're doing. You're laughing everybody on the couch. And then furthermore, like, you had freaking like cartilage surgery 2 years ago and you're out here hiking around and having a blast. So, it was my first back-to-back race weekend. I did the super and the sprint in Sacramento back in November. And that was another one of those things, like Jeff pretty much pulled me through the super. And then we went with my family through the sprint, and I was very sick at the time. I didn't have a diagnosis for anything yet. So I was really just not sure what was wrong with me, but I was like, I'm going to do it anyways because I can. So this weekend was another one of those big, like, movement based milestones where I was like, oh, wow, good. Okay. Well, my hip doesn't hurt a single bit. Like, it held up perfectly the whole way, and it was just perfect to feel like stable and know that I could keep going. As long as it was all uphill, I was like, I'm fine on the uphill. Please don't give me any downhill. Just let me go straight to the top and then just bring me down.
Sounds good to me.
Sorry,
I'm the same way. I like the uphill.
My lungs.
Oh yeah, it happened.
Yeah.
And see, I think that's great to look at it that way. I mean, most people have that thing where they put that huge goal out there and they're like, this is what I'm going to do. And then if they don't feel like they're on the right trajectory towards that, they start losing hope. But if you give yourself a bunch of small little milestones and celebrate those, it keeps you motivated, keeps you moving. So
it does.
I mean, you still have that big goal out there, but hit those small milestones too and say, hey, I may not have gotten to my goal yet, but you know, I've done this and I've done this, and this is stuff I never would have done. I mean, for like me, I'm coming up on 2 years of not smoking. I mean, for me, that's huge. Yeah. I smoked for 20
years. Congratulations,
by
the way. Like, I remember when you were still a smoker.
And I smoked for 20 something years, and all of a sudden it's been almost 2 years now. So, I mean, it's small milestones. I haven't lost the weight I wanted to, but I did quit smoking, and that's one step towards my health, and I got the surgery. That's another step. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I need to keep taking those small steps so that I can get the big ones done. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No. So Montana was amazing as usual. So jealous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was one of those moments too, where it kind of made me realize I'm not necessarily a beast type person anymore. I think when I first started, I wanted to chase all the big races because I really wanted to challenge myself in that way. And, I mean, I did well enough considering how much pain I was in and considering that I don't really train for running anymore. I mean, as you know, and a lot of other people have seen more recently, I was in weightlifting, traditional, like Olympic style weightlifting. And then more recently I've started like actual CrossFit, and, it has done wonders for me, but it's definitely a different sport. I'm kind of caught in that line of being a dual sport athlete. And, I realized, you know what, I really enjoy the sprints a lot more. That's all I've been able to do the last 2 years. So now I'm like, what the heck am I doing hiking my butt around here? 13 miles. Like, shouldn't this thing be over yet? And I have to remember, you signed up for a long race. But I don't think I'm going to be filling up my race schedule next year. It's really going to be, I have a really great coach now. And so we're focusing on getting me qualified for a lot of different CrossFit competitions next year. So I'll still be around and supporting everybody, and especially Jeff, and just, you know, obviously he's going to keep racing. And but I might only be at a couple of the smaller sprints actually participating. Otherwise, I'll just kind of be on the sidelines, hugging and cheering and just loving it on everybody. So
and sometimes that's what it is. I mean, it's, we all start this with the idea of, hey, we want to get all the medals, but then after a while you figure out, okay, well, I enjoy the sprints and I enjoy the camaraderie, but I don't enjoy the 13 miles. And I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's you. And I mean, you want to lift and you want to do more. And I mean, the lifting has done amazing things for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, then why would you continue the running part? I mean, not bad, but
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, you got to figure it out. I had to test the waters, and I'm the strongest that I've ever been right now. And so I was going into this with a really big ego. Like, I cannot wait to get out there and see what I can do. And then I was obviously disappointed by the knee thing, but I mean, I still held my own. Like, I mean, I think yesterday during the feast, I failed 3 obstacles, and today I failed 2. So, I mean, as far as, and that was more like I didn't do the rope climb because my hands were like literally on fire.
Yeah.
And the spear throw, I barely missed it. God, that thing, it's one of those things, like, I just don't practice.
It's a lot
spear
narrower
throwing,
now.
And it's so hard. So,
it's a lot narrower than it was before.
I mean, it looked like it was a little bit, but not really too much, but it's also a pain in the butt to get those things out of those pads. I mean, we're ripping the ropes off of the spears because they're going in so deep because they're kind of beat up, you know? So when someone throws it real good, it really sticks in there.
Well, yeah, because I was in Seattle. They had, when we came up in Seattle, out of more than half of them didn't have ropes, and they were trying to fix them. Because
right.
They popped the ropes off
yep.
of people pulling them out. And actually, Nick, when he pulled his out of the pad, it pulled half the pad off.
Oh, God. Well, he pulled the string off a couple today, so.
Yeah.
So he was one of the people I got to run with today, so that was really cool.
Nice. I got to run with Nick in Seattle. That was the first time me and Nick have ever ran together, so, which is really cool.
Yeah. Today was the first time for me, too.
I've been trying to run with more people that I normally don't, you know. I mean, there's always mm-hmm. Serena and Justin. They're my running buddies. But, you know, trying to get more people mm-hmm. in, I mean, it's kind of like Washougal in 2015. When I did that one, it was a group of 8 or 9. Lisa, it was Team Turtle. So, and then
gosh,
everyone
Team
kind
Turtle.
Of.
We got to do a Team Turtle get together.
Yeah. And then everyone kind of got, you know, better and, you know, different levels, you know. So kind of Team Turtle, you know, some people don't even race anymore and the other stuff. But it was a blast. So, I mean, you get the right group.
Right.
And, I mean, it can make a horrible race good, you know.
Yeah, it can.
So, you know.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. And that was kind of like me in Seattle this year when it was so cold. Is Benton, if it hadn't been for the Britons, Mitchell and Michael and Andrea mm-hmm. and all them, Benton never would have finished. But once he got
right.
talking with them and everything else, it took his mind off of everything, you know, because mm-hmm. they started speaking Japanese because none of us understood it, but them started speaking Japanese and about anime. And it was like all of a sudden his mind was off somewhere else, not on the fact that, you know, it was freezing cold. So if you get the right group,
exactly.
it can change everything. So
it can.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing people too, and they're all at different levels and there's all different. Oh, God, I have so much love for everybody that we run with because it's just a fantastic group of people.
Well, and that's what's great about it, too, is, I mean, if you get a new person in, it's pretty much, okay, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not a very fast runner. Well, what level are you at? Because we can probably find a group that you could easily run with and be totally fine with. So it's just a matter
totally.
Of which one of us you run with. I mean, we got people that, mm-hmm. you know, we got Sarah, who's finishing first, and then we've got, you know, people like me who are usually towards the end, but, you know,
yeah.
and then everyone in between, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's someone for everybody's pace.
Yep. And we all have fun with it, and there's no real judgment. We just have fun and do it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on. So do you have any more on Montana, Is that your whole take? Are you done trying to make me cry?
I'm done trying to make you cry, honey. I'm done. I promise. I mean, it sums it up. If you've never been to Montana, it is one of the races that I would say you need to make an effort to get to. Otherwise,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, if it wasn't that great, Mike wouldn't be almost in tears about it. I wouldn't be raving on about how, you know, I'm beat to shit. Like, I'm all beat up, but I'm like, go to Montana, you know? And I mean it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's worth the experience. It's one of the best races. God, it's just, this to me is always, this is always more the beginning of my season. This is like a homecoming for me. I feel it's very soul filling for me. And it's just such a beautiful place. It makes you, it puts things in perspective. We'll say that. So.
Yeah, that's kind of why it's, I think, hard for me on this one, because that really is usually my homecoming race, because that's where I started Spartan. Yeah. That's everything. That's my homecoming race. And this year I didn't get it, but, you know, we talked about that. We know why. So,
yeah.
So now that we're done talking about Montana.
And too, I mean, there's not that much in between now and Washougal for a lot of us, too.
No.
Grays Harbor Unders makes the performance-based layer clothing you want and need. Whether you work, hunt, hike, fish, run, or ride in the great outdoors, if you work up a sweat, Grays Harbor Unders are for you, because their unique dual-layer fabric removes moisture from your body and keeps your skin dry, even when the outer layer is completely wet. It's a base layer like no other. Get you some at ghunders.com. That's ghunders.com for the best performance-based layer you'll ever wear.
There we go. Oh, my computer did something weird. I lost some of the recording because for some reason my computer decided to disconnect. So I'm now going to reconnect it. When it reconnected, it reconnected with my speakers on, which normally they're not. So for anybody listening, there is like a little like 1 minute section there that you kind of lost. So it's yeah. Weird.
Oh, funny.
Technology,
so then
you gotta
love
it. I
assume that all of the noise was anything that I was saying while the noise was there is just not going to be there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I should have just been like not talking.
Yeah, you did something weird there. But so
yeah,
go back to what you were saying about the going back to school, because I think it was right about that point that it all went weird. So
right. I want to go to physical therapy school eventually. I quit my job in the ortho clinic just about 2 years ago to try to do that. And I had everything lined up. And then unfortunately I didn't get financial aid because I do still have student loans from becoming a nurse, but I actually have a phone call to make when we get back home about potentially getting all that forgiven, which could really change things for me. So it's just been trying to deal with everything as it comes, as far as trying to get to that goal and not being like pissed off about it. Like, oh, I'm not back at school yet.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of self-imposed expectations, and I need to just, you know, chill out a little bit and realize that it will happen when it happens. And as long as that's what I'm still working towards and I'm not just giving up on it, then it's not a fail. It's just taking longer than I want. So, in the meantime, I'll work in family practice. I'll keep training. And, I mean, God, I'm really just loving working with my coach for CrossFit and seeing all the stuff happening there. So, my life is my adorable dog, my wonderful boyfriend, my CrossFit, and going just back to being a nurse. So that's what I do. And then on the side, I coach some people. I've got a couple friends of ours that are my clients. I do a lot of stuff for like my family members. My little sister actually is one of my best. She's my star client. Some of you've met Jamie, you know her. So I've been training her since
we did the
August.
Sprint with her.
Yeah, she's amazing. We did, yes.
Yeah.
So she had some really bad back problems for a while. She'd gone to like the doctor and they said that her low back was kind of jacked up. And I think she was really down about it for a while and didn't really do much. And I was telling her, I was like, you gotta get into like physical therapy or, you know, do something like some core strengthening. And she finally said like, oh, let me work with you back in August. And so I had her doing just some really basic stuff. Like I said earlier, I'm not a physical therapist. I have to make sure I put that disclaimer in there. I'm not trying to practice outside my scope of practice or by any means, but just had her do some really basic stuff. And she was seeing a lot of really great improvement. And now she's finally getting into like some actual strength training. And she hasn't really been able to pick up much weight in the last 2 years because her back's been bugging her so much. And so she's getting super, super strong and she's getting buff. So she's really enjoying it.
That's good. That's good. There's a lot of those things that a lot of people don't think about. You know, I mean, you don't always need, I mean, if you need a physical therapist, you need a physical therapist. Don't let me state that wrong. But there are a lot of like normal, easy exercises that you can do that are beneficial no matter what, you know, as long as they're not
exactly
hurting. So, and there's a lot of those. I mean, that sometimes it's just, it's a weird movement. It's whatever. And that's been one of my my biggest things, like I've talked on the podcast before, is trying to get that, figure out what that is for me with the foot injury and everything else and how to work around that. Mm-hmm. So, and I will get there.
And you got to find the right therapist too. A lot of people think that every physical therapist is exactly the same, and they're not. You have to find the one that works well with you, understands what your goals are realistically. Like if you're seeing a physical therapist that primarily works with joint replacement patients who are older and they're not necessarily into fitness like we are, they're probably not the right fit for you. Not because they're a bad therapist, but just because that's not really, they're not up to speed on all of that stuff. Whereas if you were to choose someone who's younger, has, for instance, like with me, if I'm going to have therapy for something, I'm going to go to like Eroski or something like that, where they are centered around functional training. So they understand on a basic level already what I'm doing for my training. And so they're going to have a better understanding of how to strengthen me for that while getting me better and not putting me at risk for injuring myself again. And like I said, it's not because the therapist is bad. It's just because you got to find the one that understands what your goals are. So.
Exactly. And that's a lot of times with older patients who have like a joint replacement, they're just trying to get movement again. That's it.
Exactly.
They just want to be able to move and be able to walk or do whatever, where we're like, cool, once we're done with this, I want to go back out and do a Spartan. So it's not just about me being able to walk to my car and back. I need to be able to do 13 miles and lift 90-pound rocks and that kind of stuff. So
there's a,
you have to make sure you have a
patient of mine from, there's a patient of mine from a couple of years ago that really stands out to me in regards to that. She was in her like early 50s. So one of our younger patients, because I worked with a joint replacement patient or joint replacement surgeon. And she's been a fitness instructor her whole life. She does like Pilates and yoga and weight training and all this stuff. She's super fit. So her job, her livelihood demands a lot from her. And unfortunately, she got swept up into the system of like all the regular therapy. And she's like, guys, I know. And she had a partial knee replacement, which usually is a little bit easier to recover from, but it's still partially a knee replacement. Like it's hard. And she wasn't getting the motion back that she needed. And it was really hard for her. She went through six therapists before she finally found the one. And it was hard because on the surgeon side, you know, there's a certain amount of like, you feel like you're kind of responsible for it. And I don't think that anybody that was on her care team was really anticipating the fact that she would need so much rehab the level that she did. And it's like, well, duh. Hello.
Well, see, I think you know, in some ways but that's where I've had issues with my foot issue and stuff, was that I don't think they pretty much were like, cool, your foot's, because it was an L&I, your foot's healed, you're good to go. And it's like, no, I think I need more therapy and all that. I'm like, nope, L&I, we you're good. You can go back to what your job was. Yep. So we're done with you. So that's where it's been my biggest issue, is I don't have, like, my insurance doesn't want to pay for it because it's an L&I injury. And L&I is like, no, you're back to where you need to be. We don't need to send you to therapy. So it's been that's been my fight with it. So,
And that's why I want to get into it, because I mean, your story exactly is, I'm seeing this big gap in what's needed. And if I can be part of the fight to bring more level care to patients, then I want to be in that fight. You know, like I already know I want to help people. That's why I became a nurse. But I think that, movement and how therapeutic it can be for people. And there's so many people that they get stuck in that wheel, and there's so many things that they're so capable of, and they're never given a chance, and they don't realize what they can do for themselves. Where like in your instance, you know that you can do more, and you know that you have to find the right person, but you've got this huge freaking barrier, and it's baloney, and I want to help it with it though.
And that's the biggest problem, because you get a vicious cycle. Because now, because my foot's injured, it's hard for me to exercise. So I get bigger. Mm-hmm. And then because I'm bigger, it's still hard for me to exercise. And my foot's even worse. And it's like, you know, the doctor's like, well, to make your foot better, you need to lose weight. But to lose weight, I need to be able to use my foot. And it's like, you know, I'm working on the diet side.
You're like,
but
what do you want me to do here, guys?
The exercise side is the hard part, you know. And I'll get there. I mean, it's a matter of just kind of finding that right balance. And I haven't been able to find it, and I think I need to look harder, but you know, I'll find it.
Right.
So
I hear you.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're getting beckoned in the background there, and everything else, and we are close to about an hour on here. So is there anything you want to say to everyone in closing?
Oh, gosh. Well, a lot, but they'd have to just talk to me, and I'll talk their ear off. I guess if there was, like, one thing I could say in closing, it was just, it doesn't matter what it is that you do, but get out and do something.
Yeah.
Yep. Very simple.
I agree. I don't.
Because that's going to lead into something else, though.
Oh, it does. Because, I mean, look at, you know, I started running 5Ks, and all of a sudden I'm doing Spartan races. So, I mean, it does. One little thing can lead into such huge, so many better things. So, perfect.
Yeah,
all
I
right,
started
cool.
Doing Beachbody DVDs with my friend in her living room every morning before work, and now look where I am. So, like, literally, just do something.
Do something. I like that.
Yep.
Give me my new motto. I'm just going to put it on T-shirts. Do something, Elise.
Yep. Oh, I feel so special.
So. All right. Well, perfect. Thank you for talking with me and telling me all about Montana and everything else. And I look forward to seeing you guys when you get back. So, perfect.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast, brought to you by Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear. You can find us on Facebook or at beastocr.com.